Blog Talk Radio.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Terry Lee Bolton combines Southern rock, blues, pop, and Detroit soul to create his own unique sound. Along with his singing and songwriting, he's also well known for his skills as a drummer. Terry has open shows for Triumph, Kim Mitchell, as well as Pam Tillis. On today's show, we'll hear songs from his American Man CD. It's my pleasure to welcome Terry Lee Bolton to the show. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Dave. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. It's nice and toasty here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wonderful, wonderful. We got a bit cooler here in Ontario as we're in our fall, but still a little warmer than normal for this time of year, which is great.
Yeah, around the country, everybody's telling me, you know, fans and family members and everybody located all over the United States are telling me that it's a little warmer than normal.
That's always a bonus for sure, because the winters, especially in Canada, can stretch on a bit. Now, Terry, I wanted to talk to you about, first of all, you grew up in Detroit, and that obviously influenced your sound, because there's a great music that comes out of Detroit and a great style. So maybe talk about how that influenced your music as you grew up.
Well, believe it or not, you know, being in Detroit, we had a lot of great radio stations, but this goes way back, but I just remember as a really young kid listening to radio coming out of Canada, you know, coming out of Windsor.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah, and, you know, they played everything from, you know, you'd hear Stevie Wonder and then you'd hear Grand Funk, or you'd hear, you know, and these are older bands, but, you know, these are bands that my father liked and that, you know, had influenced my music directly. But, you know, like I said, we had great radio stations there. You know, we had Motown and all that, but really I was tuned into a lot of Windsor radio stations as often as humanly possible.
Isn't that something? Now, so what was there a mixture of music going on those stations, or was it one specific style you were attracted to?
No, I mean, you know, I'm one of those weird guys. I really like rock and roll. I almost like heavy rock, more than all the other genres combined, but because I believe our region and your region up north there, I think it was mixed up all the time, you know, on purpose. It was just this top 40 eclectic mix of every kind of music humanly possible, you know, and, you know, I think that directly influenced my records.
Very cool. Now, along with that influence, you also very early got into the drums. So what led you to drums, and how does that change your sound with such a sort of a specialty in that, whereas a lot of other artists wouldn't be in the drummer sense?
Well, the drum thing was actually the first thing that happened to me. I didn't play a musical instrument for a very long time. I teetered around with them every now and then, but because I seemed to have such a natural ability for drums, I didn't think I would ever need the skills or desire the skills to play other instruments.
Ah.
What happened to me is I believe that there's, just like Neil Peart from Rush, there's a great rhythmic sense in your timing and in your spirit musically and lyrically that I ended up leaning towards songwriting even before I could really play another instrument other than drums. My father always said that I played drums like I was making music.
Interesting. So he could hear a song within what you were doing?
Yeah, he could hear melody within my drumming.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
pretty cool.
For me, yeah, thank you. For me, that was a huge encouragement for me to explore other areas, you know, that early on support and vision from an outside entity, you know, that you trust and love. makes you look at yourself almost, you know, in hindsight, in real time, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to examine yourself through those, you know, your peers and through your loved ones and stuff like that and say, wow, I actually am pretty good at that. Maybe I could do more.
Sure, and sometimes you do need their feedback because it's hard for us to always know how good we are. And so, like you say, when your dad told you that, it obviously gave you a big boost.
Yeah, I just remember him sitting me down and probably tuning into a Windsor radio station on a little radio, a little white radio
right.
that was sitting on my dresser, and I had my first drum set, and he was like, just play along to the beat. And I just remember that. I was probably 3 years old.
Wow. That's pretty early.
Yeah.
Wow. So you just had that natural sense of rhythm.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from because no one in my family plays music.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, if you came from a musical family, so it sounds like you're the first one to pursue it.
Well, yeah, and I've always wanted to do this. I never looked back, you know, generation after generation after generation to try and explore and see if that was something that was in my family. And I imagine it is somewhere in my lineage, you know, that somebody played music. But as far as great-grandpa, grandpa, dad, mom, grandma, great-grandma, no one played musical instruments.
Wow, that's interesting. It's just like you say, you discovered it on your own. And has there ever been any other career that you mentioned, you know, you got on this and stuck with it, that came close to tempting you maybe to try it instead? Or has it basically been the music the whole way?
It's been the music the whole way, but sometimes that's a double-edged sword, too, because, you know, the real world has a tendency to pull at your heartstrings, too. It's always been music the whole way, but I was actually a trained, what I would call a master sign painter. That's what I did as I was growing up. That was my father's business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So art has really lent itself a great skill for me to do my own record. You know, I'm doing my own CD covers and all the graphics and everything that you see on MySpace and Twitter.
Oh, wow.
And Facebook and all that I've done myself, yeah.
That's a real creative talent. So, yeah, obviously to put those kind of CD covers together. And so do you do painting on the side? Like would you do scenery and that type of stuff, or is it just strictly to relate to the music?
Well, no, it was always everything from, you know, if there was a sign that was 60 feet in the air, I did that. If there was a sign on the side of the building painted on brick, I did that. If it was Little Caesar's Pizza in Canada and in the United States, every Little Caesar's guy that you've seen and every Little Caesar's lettering that was tacked on the wall in the vestibule, I hand cut those out and hand painted them.
Wow.
Yeah. What else? I've done, I've painted 747s.
Whoa. Now, what's that like? Is that pretty hard work?
You're on a scaffold, and you're you know, four stories up, and you're painting these flags that are 6 inches by 4 inches on a door next to where people would board the plane. And I asked somebody one time, I said, why am I doing this? And they said, well, the countries that the plane would fly to, if the dignitaries from that country didn't see their flag on the plane, they would be insulted. So I would have to strike a grid, you know, 8 feet wide and 6 feet tall of these hundreds of flags, you know, that they would have a bear crawling up a tree, you know, with something in its hand. I mean, you can't see that at 30,000 feet, but I had to paint it.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Well, that's a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, but it was fun. You know, it was a great experience. I worked for my father from the time I was 10 years old until I retired from that, you know, some years ago and just pursued the music full time.
That's pretty neat. What a neat background. Very interesting stories.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, now your CD, American Man, that is out. We're going to be hearing a couple of songs from it. What was it like to put that CD together? And, Terry, how would you describe the sound of it for our listeners?
You know, I mean, it's a combination of Southern rock and country rock, you know, radio rock, pop rock. There's a little bit of everything in there. And as you said, you know, growing up in Detroit, obviously I had some Ted Nugent influences and some Bob Seger influences and stuff like that. But I love bands like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, and Rush is my all-time favorite band.
Oh, wow.
I actually met all I met all those guys on the Moving Picture Tour, and they signed an album for me, and it still hangs in my studio to this day.
Wow,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah, so if I can still keep my radio format and I can infuse any kind of Rush influence into my stuff, that's the first thing I do.
And you've had a chance to open for Rush?
No, I did not open for those guys.
Not for Rush.
I wish I could have. No, and
that
I
would be
someday,
a dream.
You know, before they retire, I will get to do that.
I bet you will, because I was reading a list of them, and there are quite a few bands that you've opened for. Do you want to share some of the names of the bigger groups that you've opened shows for?
Well, you know, Joe Perry from Aerosmith and Aerosmith, and then Kim Mitchell was great, because at the time when I first met him, I had a band out of Detroit called Push, and he actually sat in the dressing room with me and listened to my entire album.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and gave me his opinions about the music business and so on and so forth. And then Triumph, the guys in Triumph were absolutely amazing, courteous people. And, you know, it sounds like I have this Canada fetish, but I kind of do. You know, I've played London, Chatham, Windsor, Toronto, Woodstock, and I've met some amazing people and had some amazing times in Canada. And a lot of my growth musically was in Canada, you know, as much as it was in the United States, being that I was right there on the border in Detroit.
Wow, that's great to hear that. And like you say, yeah, the border, you're right on there. So all those Canadian influences, we always hear about in Canada, us getting American influences, but that's great to know that it worked the other way.
Yeah, and the larger number of my endorsements with companies that have been very monumental in you know, building my confidence and the products and stuff are all Canadian companies. Levy's Leathers, out of Winnipeg, Manitoba,
yep.
Are great friends of mine. As a matter of fact, I seen the owner, Harvey, just flash by on TV today. He was at a BMI function.
Oh, wow.
We just came back from Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley just did a performance downtown here for Good Morning America. We were down there all day today with the fans, and my friend is the Brad Paisley's guitar player, Jody, and we hung out all day, man. I mean, literally all day, and then we went down I get so excited. I'm forgetting who I'm supposed to tell you was down there. Oh, I'll remember and tell you.
Okay, yeah.
We just had a blast today.
Mm-hmm. That's great, and of course, Brad and Carrie are going to be hosting the CMA Awards tomorrow night, which is going to be a great show with all the country awards handed out.
Yep.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, I found a lot of my first records that I was influenced by in record shops in Windsor.
Oh, neat. And do you still have some of those? Do you still have the old record player to throw those on?
Oh, yeah. I found Rush there when their record was still not on Mercury. It was still on their label.
Right.
I found that there. I found, trying to think of who else I found there that was majorly influenced. Oh, Motley Crue's first record I actually found in a shop over in Windsor. I never even knew who they were.
Oh, isn't that something? So you discovered them by being at that store and checking out their record.
Yeah, frequenting that store and finding things that I didn't know anything about. But I love bands like Trooper, and I could go on forever. Prism is one of my all-time favorite bands in the whole world. They did their live record at the Royal Oak Music Theater, and I'm screaming on the thing. And the whole time you can hear me screaming on the record. I still have that in my collection, too.
Very cool, Terry. Now let's turn to your music, and I want to share a song, the title track of your CD, American Man. So can you tell us a bit about the song, and then we'll spin it for our listeners.
Well, my influence for American Man was basically, you know, I'm living in America, and I'm working my tush off, and I'm trying to, you know, get ahead in this world that we live in, and it's a struggle, and I meet fans every day that you know, put out money for my CDs and have me autograph them, and I talk to them and I find out their stories and what their struggle is, and I look at them and their families and their wives and stuff, and I just wanted to write an anthem that was a little Alice Cooper influenced, you know, and say, hey, I'm an American man doing the best I can, you know.
Awesome. Well, it's a great tune, and we'll share it now with our listeners. This is Terry Lee Bolton and American Man here on In the Country.
In the morning and I raise my head up high.
get ahead now. No matter how hard I try, I bring home the bacon and wear it like a diamond ring. I hop into the shower now, and you can hear me sing. I'm an American man. I'm an American man, doing the best I can. I'm an American man. I see it on the TV. Yeah, I see it on the silver screen. People killing one another. But what does it really good now, come on, dance a little. Oh, feel that bass guitar. Woo! Feel it down in your soul.
It's Terry Lee Bolton here on In the Country with the title track of his CD, American Man, and we are speaking with Terry. Now, you were born in Detroit, as we talked about before, Terry. You're living in Nashville now. Has there been any influence in Nashville for you about in connection with your music?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been a big fan of, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, 38 Special, bands of that nature. And then I really was drawn to country music in the fact that the productions are very crystal clear and the music is very consistent. So for me to take, you know, the Canadian radio influence, the Detroit radio influence, and then come down here and, you know, meet these people and just, you know, dive into the culture here. And the people are just so nice, man. I mean, they're just nice here. The weather's beautiful. The music is incredible. Some of the most talented people in the world are here. And, yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, you could just close your eyes and listen, and everybody's talking about music no matter where you go, you know.
And have you found your songwriting has improved over the years? Are there things you're getting better at with the songs, getting good at writing those commercial hooks?
Yeah, I've gotten really good at it. I'm like, and I dare compare myself to this, but I'm kind of like a Paul McCartney in a way where every time I pick up an instrument, I could literally write five songs without even trying to do it. It's just something that happens every time I pick up an instrument. And it differs between the instrument. If I'm playing some keys, it comes out one way. If I'm playing guitar, it comes out obviously the way that you're hearing the record. And then sometimes ideas come to me just playing drums, rhythmic ideas, melody ideas, things that make sense to me. just happen naturally, so I'm really lucky that way. But I think I'm getting good at it in this sense, where I'm able to reflect the views of other people who are listening to a greater degree than I ever have been in my life. You know, and obviously that's experience in life, but it's experience, you know, at that craft of crafting new ideas that when people listen to it, they go, wow, you know, you just told my life story there, or I can relate to that, or that happened to me. And I really don't make anything up. If I haven't lived it, I really don't write it. I just get this gut feeling about a song that I have to record it. And that's how I choose them.
That's great, because people can usually tell when it's authentic or not. So you're able to bring those experiences. It must be a great compliment when someone says they can relate to the song, because it's obviously something you've been through, experienced, or seen, and obviously you've communicated it well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a song on my CD called Riding on the Wind, you know, and I just have this viewpoint sometimes that, you know, we're just kind of riding on the wind, you know, and where the wind blows, we go, and it's really just up to us to pull together to make all this stuff work the way, you know, God intended it to work, and until we do that, we're just riding on the wind.
Wow. That's terrific. Great when we can put a message like that in a song, because, you know, we're not giving something to people just to dance to, but something to really think about. And that's sort of a great level of music. So you like to do that as well with your song, sort of have a message in there that people can take away?
Yeah, there's always a message in there. Like American Man, it says, I see it on the TV, I see it on the silver screen, people killing one another, but what does it really mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
And then it goes, people say I'm crazy when I say it's a beautiful day. You know, that says everything right there. Like, how can you say it's a beautiful day when you see all these other things going on? And
right.
So it's a state of mind. You put yourself there. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, and what I loved about that song is the lyrics were just very clear. You could definitely hear the story in it and the message. So that's always great that it doesn't get lost in the production.
Yeah, and for me, the video came together. You know, we shot it in 14 hours in the backyard of my house, and, you know, we had a big rubber pool and tires and grills and dogs and, you know, and all that stuff. And really the song told the story for the video, and the video was just so easy to produce and storyboard. I did the storyboard in my mind, and we just put it together one step at a time. And when I edited it and I was done, I was like, wow, that was too easy. You know, there's got to be something else I can do. And then I looked at it and I said, there's nothing else to do. It says what it says, and that's it.
Wow, that's great. And I know that video is on your website, on your MySpace site?
Yeah, well, it's on my MySpace, obviously. And there's tons of stuff on my MySpace.
I just posted,
I think, 7 new videos. I moved my studio into a new building, and I've been having a lot of fun dialing things in, and I've got a new drum set from D Drum and some new guitars from BC Rich, and I really wanted to, you know, translate more in the video form for a while. So I think I shot about 7 new things and just put them up. But anyway,
excellent. That's great, Terry. Yeah. Well, we'll come back and we'll tell our listeners where they can find you on MySpace and as well as your other website. But let's talk about Down the Highway. I'll play that in a moment. But tell us a bit about that song.
Well, Down the Highway is basically a feeling that I get that every time I get in a vehicle and I get out on the road, I want to go somewhere and play, and I want a tour, and I want to, you know, and I just get that feeling. There's no going to the corner store for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm always driving past it to go to the next gig, to go to the next show, because I love playing for people.
Yep.
So that's basically what that's about. And there's a lot of metaphors in there, too. As a matter of fact, speaking of, and I should be promoting my music more, but speaking of Rush, in the song, there's a lyric that says, I can feel that Rush is coming.
Right.
I use that line because Rush was actually playing 2 miles from my house.
Oh, wow.
Out here, or 2 miles from my studio out here in the suburbs. And my schedule would not allow me to leave to go see them. And they were right down the road. And I literally could hear them on my porch when I took breaks because I was recording. And
very
so
cool.
I infused that into my song because I could feel that Rush is coming. I could feel it flying by. That meant I was literally, you know, working through them being just 2 miles from my studio.
Very cool play on the lyric, because it could mean just a Russian general and
exactly
Rush
the
band.
Rush of being out on the road.
Yeah.
But for me, it was Rush the band, but I made it mean two things in the song.
That is very cool. So it's got that, I guess when you sing that, you sing it with a real personal touch to it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So we'll share that now with our listeners, Terry. This is Terry Lee Bolton and Down the Highway here on In the Country. And that is Terry Lee Bolton from his American Man CD. That is Down the Highway here on In the Country. Great tune, great beat and melody in the whole bit. I love that song, Terry.
Thank you very much, Dave.
So where can our listeners buy your CD on the internet?
Well, if they want it autographed, they just go to terryleebolton.com, TerryLeeBolton.com, and there's a link right on there. They can pay for it with PayPal, The CDs come to me. I autograph them. The record label ships them directly to their door at no additional charge other than what they pay, you know, right there on the PayPal. And PayPal obviously is secure and safe. And then there's many other places to get it unautographed. You go to cdbaby.com and type in my name, Terry Lee Bolton, you'll find it there. I'm also on iTunes and Rhapsody. My entire catalog is on Rhapsody and iTunes. And
Cool.
So they're downloadable there. Go ahead.
And you have a MySpace site as well. People can check out a ton of your videos and songs and that.
Yeah, just go to myspace.com/Terry Lee Bolton. And my Twitter and my Facebook are both the same. You know, always just Terry
yep.
Lee Bolton. And
yeah,
it's wonderful video.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's wonderful the amount of ways to keep in touch with listeners and fans these days, isn't there? With Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it. And, you know, I've just got some really, really dedicated fans that I've met through those mediums. And they play my music all the time. I've gotten over 1 million plays this year.
Amazing.
And, yeah, it's changed the landscape of things.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Is there any artist out there, even if you could dream just on the country charts or the rock charts, that you would like to either perform with or go in the studio and do some music with? Anybody that would sort
you
of
know,
be a dream come true?
First and foremost, I'd like to sit down next to Neil Peart with a drum set and watch him just play. I mean, I've seen him over the years, so I know what he does, and I've watched some of his stuff. But to sit in a room and actually do that would be amazing. But I'd like to open for Rush. I'd love to open for Kiss. If I could go back, and, you know, obviously you can't because the singer from Prism, you know, was killed some years ago. I would have loved to have been able to do a show with them, but at the time I was so young, you know, there
right.
was no hope of that.
yep.
stuff like that. And there's a band out there, Angel. I absolutely love those guys. Mm-hmm. Gene Simmons from Kiss actually found those guys in a club in Pennsylvania. Great group. You know, stuff like that. I'd like to meet Elton John, you know. Queen is one of my favorites. I correspond with Brian May quite often. Email. What a great
yep.
guy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrific. Now, what about advice, Terry, for artists out there who are just starting out in music and things maybe they should look to do that might help them along the way?
The first thing that ever gave me any kind of taste of success was playing anywhere and everywhere that they would have me. And then having said that, I always wanted to be original, you know, an original artist because there was so much original music out there. And you think to yourself, well, you know, they did it. I've got to be able to do it. At the same time, you got to keep an eye on what people like to hear because that's what's going to bring them in the door and get their attention to hear what it is that you are doing.
Right.
The other thing is the music business is not what Hollywood and, you know, what the TV shows make it look like it really is. That's just a production for entertainment value. It's a lot of hard work. It's ridiculously hard.
Hmm.
And now that we have more tools, it's easier in a sense to get exposure, harder to get people's attention. And because there are so many tools now in the shed,
right.
so to speak,
yep.
you're working your tush off to do things that you never thought that you would do. You know, you got to get some skills. You can't just go into it thinking I'm a great guitar player because, my God, this world is full of so many incredibly talented people. I know 8-year-olds that blow me away, you know.
true.
And when you keep that kind of perspective about those that came before you and what they did to get where they're at, I think that you can be successful. I've developed a saying that success in the music business is a choice.
Okay, and can you elaborate on that?
It's a choice. Any 5 guys can get together and go play and make money doing it. But what
right.
you have to do is you have to get off your fanny and you have to go do it. Nobody's going to hand it to you. You know, I worked 300 days a year when I was 16, 17, 18 years old, 19 years old, I was doing 300 dates a year between Canada and the United States. I played up to 7 days a week, 4 shows a night.
Wow.
That's all I did. You know, and for me to go from making beer money or actually getting paid in beer
right.
to, you know, to having a four-piece band, you know, making $3,500 a week, not 15 minutes from my house.
Nice.
As a young teenager, it is an incredible feat. And
yeah.
then there's some people that have even done better than that younger, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
You can't go into it thinking that you're going to be on top of the Billboard charts. You got to have these little scales of weighs and balances. You know, your first thing should be let's get the band together. Once you get that together, you say let's go play this party. You get that together, and you know if nobody's drunk and falling down, that's in the band. By the time you're done, then you've gotten past that, and
right.
then you say let's go into the clubs. And let's do it there. And then you do it in the clubs. And as long as nobody's drunk or stoned and, you know, overdosing or falling down, then you've made that hurdle. And it's a business. It's not a game. And one thing I will tell you, because of my experiences in the 80s as a young adult, is that you get sucked into stuff really fast and not even realize it, because it seems like it's it's extracurricular activity, but that extracurricular, curricular activity that you may indulge in for 3 years could cost you 15 years of trying to regroup
right.
to have a career balance out on the other end. And it's happened to me. It's happened to many, many people that I see and meet through the years. And you don't want to give up on your dream. I believe really strongly in this. I don't think you want to give up on your dream and say, you know, let me just settle out of court and do this or do that, you know, or be the burger guy. Because I've run into so many people in my lifetime, too, that say, you know, I'm 50 years old and I stopped playing and I've regretted it every day since.
Wow, that's amazing to hear those stories and to know that, people do sometimes give up before things take off, or they should have hung in a bit longer.
Yeah, and it's all in what you make. And, I mean, a lot of people are doing it. You know what I mean? A lot of people are doing it. And one thing I've learned, too, is don't be afraid of cover songs. Get to the point where the cover songs are something you're doing to entertain other people, but then just make them your own. You know, take your sound or whatever you want to develop it in and do it, because that's what everybody does. They turn it into theirs, and then all of a sudden, magically, you're writing your rendition of, you know, this cover song, and all of a sudden, you've got your sound, and all of a sudden, everybody digs it, and you made it happen.
Very cool. Well, Terry, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to speak with you and to hear your thoughts on music and your music career, and, of course, to play your great songs. I'll encourage my listeners now to check out your websites, the videos, and, of course, the songs, and that's where they can get the CD American Man from. So thanks so much, Terry, for being on the show.
You're welcome, Dave. Don't forget, I do have another CD called Don't Let the Hat Fool You, and that can be purchased as well, and it's on CD Baby. You could find that right away, and then, like I said, iTunes and that. But I do also have one thing I wanted to tell you.
Sure.
I have a new CD coming out in January called You Can't Have It, and I just finished it up. Yep, and I got some help from some really, you know, heavy hitters here. They allowed me to come in their studios and play the stuff and see how not good I was doing on mastering my stuff, so I could get it fixed before I put it out. And Brad Paisley's guitar player Jody was one who helped me in that situation, and then John Michael Montgomery's bass player actually let me come in and listen to my stuff and give me some pointers, and it's just
been
a really good thing, and the records turned out really, really good.
Sounds like, yeah, something to be proud of. So do you think it's your best one yet?
Yeah, my wife says it is too. You know, and I made it more of a guitar record, more of a guitar record than any record that I've done, and I'm really, really proud of it. It still maintained the American Man kind of feel. It
right.
dives back into my, you know, first band push, dives into that. It brings out more of my Led Zeppelin influences, but it definitely brings out the guitar, because guitar is my second instrument, not my first instrument. I've always been a little gun-shy of it. I finally wanted to, you know, load both barrels and go for it. And so I'm pretty proud
sure.
of it.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much, Terry. Best of luck with the CD, and I hope to talk with you again in the future.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave.
Awesome. My guest today has been singer-songwriter Terry Lee Bolton. Be sure to check him out on MySpace and terryleebolton.com. I'm Dave Woods. Thanks for spending time in the country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country.